Father Blanas would distribute everything he had to the widows and orphans and kept nothing for himself. By sundown, he was practically penniless. Whenever he would receive a money envelope, he would hand it over to someone in need without looking to see what was in it or how much was in it. So Araleco would go in the altar from time to time. I'm sure he didn't do this all the time. But he would go inside the altar and take some money. And instead of chasing him out, Father Nicholas would say, this is, by the way, this is during Divine Liturgy. And Father Nicholas would say, Aleko, slowly, people are watching. In other words, take the money, but slowly, don't make so much noise. The blessed man of God was not doing anything extraordinary. He was simply following the gospel of Christ. That's what the gospel says. The gospel says if someone is taken from you, let them. Don't try to beat them or try to fight them. But guess what happened to this Aleko after several years? He broke down by St. Nicholas' humility. He repented. He confessed and died in Christ Jesus. What would happen if Father Philotheos of Vakos or Papadiamandis got rid of him? He would die in a street corner somewhere. See what love does. His patience and meekness paid off. One time, Aleko took all the money, and Father Nicholas forgot all about this. He didn't know. And he rented a carriage. He took a carriage to take him somewhere. And when he got there, he was looking for money to pay this man. And the money was gone. He had nothing. Aleko had done his job. Now, the carriage driver was not a very understanding person. And he said, priest or not, I want my money and I want it now. Father Nicholas said, I would give it to you, but I don't know what happened to it. The driver is very upset by now, and he says, take your cassock off right now. Take it off, and I'll sell it, and I'll make 10 times what you owe me. He didn't fight him. He took off his cassock, his arazo, and he gave it to him. A few minutes later, the carriage driver was running back, telling him, here, please forgive me. Take your arazo back. I don't want it. A similar story is told about Father Philotheos Zarvakos, probably a few decades later, when Father Philotheos took a taxi around Athens to go to a certain house where he was invited. And it was kind of remote, so when they got there, he paid the taxi driver, and the taxi driver began to look at him kind of funny, and he says, that cross that you're wearing, that is a very nice cross. I don't think you have any need for it. I want it. By the way, this cross was a very precious cross with stones, precious stones in it. Just a wonderful cross. And it was the cross that Saint Nectarios gave Father Philotheos Zarvakos was a gift. And Father Philotheos looked at him and said, my son, if you want my cross, you are going to have to take it off me. I'm not going to give it to you, but you take it off my neck. And the taxi driver did just that. Father Philotheos was very sad, of course, but he did not put up a fight. He did not oppose this man, but he simply said, in the Holy Spirit, he said, my son, if you need me, I'm going to be at that certain house up on the hill. If you need anything, taxi driver says, I never needed you. I will never need you. Just get out of my face, basically. A few seconds later, the taxi driver tried to start up the car. 2 hours later, the taxi driver was still trying to start the car. He looked under the hood. He couldn't find anything wrong with the car. And he understood what was happening. He ran up to the hill and he asked for forgiveness from Father Philotheos, gave the cross back, and immediately after that, the taxi started. There's nothing wrong with it. By the way, the taxi driver followed Father Philotheos Zervakos all the way to Paros and became one of his monks. Both of these saints practice the gospel and the commandment of Christ. Do we behave like this in this type of Christianity that we live in? No, because our faith is very weak. We think that if we don't protect our rights, if we are not going to protect our rights, then we're going to lose, and we have to look out for number one. And this is all the baggage that got into our Christianity over the years and has polluted it. And this is why our confession does not hold any water today. So it's very significant that the first thing that Christ tried to teach to the apostles was this virtue of poverty. In the Old Testament, Tobit was doing very well financially. He always had the blessing of God. And at some point, he became very, very poor. Again, he was very rich, and he lost all his money because of somewhat of an illness. We will have a certain amount of recordings on this topic, especially on the spiritual will of Tobit. But at any rate, he became very, very poor, and he tells his son, "My son, do not be afraid because you became poor. Don't worry about that. Just keep your God. He is your wealth. The commandments of God are a great wealth." After teaching about poverty, now Christ instructs the disciples to become pure from passions. Take the plank out of your own eye so you can see, and then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. The blind man cannot lead the blind. We cannot lead anybody to orthodoxy because our faith is very weak. And we need to strengthen our faith. We need to reach this purity that Christ is talking about. We are not able to see sometimes, spiritual that is, because our mind and hearts are polluted. We cannot see God. We cannot see the hand of God in our lives on a day-to-day basis because the Holy Spirit is put out. Sure, we are all baptized. We were all baptized at an early age, and yes, it was not done with our own will, but that does not matter because even though we became sinners without our own will, remember, we still inherited the original sin without our will. Did we have anything to do with it? No. So we inherited the original sin without our will, and now we get rid of it without a will. So there's really no harm done in that. However, our baptism alone is not going to save us. It is not enough to save us. We get the stamp of the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. Much like today, when babies are born, they receive a social security number from a time they may be a year old or 2 years old. And the child does not need this social security number until many, many years later, until they're of age to go to work. If they choose not to be employed for the rest of their lives, in other words, they decide not to work at all, then at the age of 65, they will not receive any social security benefits. So that social security card was really unnecessary and useless for them. In the same way, when we receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, if we do not activate it, if we do not make our own commitment to Christ, when we become of age, then the baptism will be totally useless for us. So we must work out our salvation, and we are called just by birth, by being born as Orthodox, let's say, we are called, but it is up to us to be chosen, and we have to decide on our own. We have to decide, and this decision is going to make us chosen. So we have to decide to purify our nous, our mind, our phronema, our mindset. Christ tells his disciples, you can be blind and be leading someone else. You can't be a teacher if you yourself have no idea what you're teaching about. Those of us who try to teach, teachers in general, are going to be judged a little harder, St. James says, and it's very hard to be a teacher if we are not trying to keep the commandments of God and at least try to purify our heart to some degree. Christ told his disciples to follow him, and they followed him for 2 to 3 years, 3 years. Even St. Paul, who came along a little later, did exactly the same thing. He stayed in the desert for 3 years, and Christ was teaching him through revelation. St. Paul, after his instruction, he came back, and he taught the nations. But from this we see that we need to prepare ourselves before we teach other people. Christ is saying that you have accumulated a lot of baggage over the years, and this has to be eliminated. Everything that enters through our eyes, our ears, our nose, that's all stored in our subconscious, and now the devil works with all this, and he adds and subtracts a few pictures, a few images, and we are turned upside down. Christ says, blessed are the pure at heart, because they will see God. So we have to clear away the things that God hates, impurities, evil desires, and all the things that go against his commandments. Then we will be able to see, and we will be able to become strong missionaries for our immediate environment. We are not equipped accordingly to preach and teach and confess and become missionaries if we have not dealt with our own passions. We see this over and over again, and I'm not picking on any certain individual at this point. We see this in certain denominations, certain leaders, where they will preach for many, many years, but the poor, poor people, they do not have the weapons of the church. They don't have the tradition to purify their heart, and the devil allows them to get millions of people to turn to them, and then the devil with one sweep knocks them down. In Orthodoxy, we have the potential and we have the weaponry to make our calling secure. And I must say one thing, in the few studies that I have been doing over the years, I have yet to hear of one case of a pious holy elder, and we have dozens of Yerendas in our century who reached theosis, and none of them fell in that sense, because according to St. Peter, they succeeded in making their calling secure. Sure, they were human beings, they made mistakes, but nothing serious that would scandalize and rock the entire church. The way to make our calling secure is to work while it's still day to uproot the passions, to expel the demonic energy from our members and become spirit-filled. This takes a great deal of patience and work and struggle. Unfortunately, today's modern Christian does not want to hear about discomfort and pain and tears and struggle, agona. But these are all the birth pains of every sincere Christian, which are unavoidable if Christ is to be born in us. People would rather talk about joy and happiness and peace and a Christ who gives and constantly blesses, much like a modern-day Santa Claus. And all we have to do is tithe, and wealth will come our way, storehouses of blessing. This 10% is quite amusing because we use it very, very heavily in this country, or rather abuse it. By the way, our monks do not tithe because they have no income. Does that mean that they will not be blessed? Yes, tithing was practiced in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Christian commits his entire life to Christ our God. Our children, our homes, our talents, our possessions belong to God. We simply manage these things and use them to serve our present needs. The rest belongs to Him. Christ teaches this, and He says, unless your dikaiosyne, meaning your virtue, the translation in English is righteousness, for the Greek word dikaiosyne, but we know from studying the Old Testament and also the New Testament that dikaiosyne means virtue in this case. If your virtue is not higher than that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Do we know what the Pharisees used to do? They fasted twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday, I believe. And unless your virtue is higher, you see, we read the Bible, but we read it very, very quickly, and we don't see these things. We don't see these things because we don't take the time to purify our heart. See, if we are reading the Bible with a filthy heart, filthy hands, we're not going to see many, many things because the grace is not there. And the more we purify our hearts, then the more we will see. That's why I don't trust my own opinion. I don't have a pure heart. I will trust the opinion of St. Basil, St. John the Chrysostom, St. Nicodemus, and all the different saints and interpreters of the Bible who had a pure heart. Interpretation of the Bible and the Scriptures was given to them from above. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So your virtue must exceed the virtue of the Pharisees to see the kingdom of God. The Pharisees were the most religious people of their time. They were very religious. They went to church every week, every Sabbath. Do we go to church every week? Do all Orthodox go to church every week? They fasted twice a week. And you know the type of fasting that they did? They fasted all day from morning till night until 7 p.m., I believe. And they had nothing to eat twice a week. It's not easy. Twice a week. Do we fast twice a week like that? Many people say that they're Christians, but they don't fast. Christ fasted. The apostles fasted. Even the Pharisees fasted. And people don't want to fast. Why? Because they don't want to accept the cross of Christ. They only want the resurrection. Unfortunately, we're witnessing the false or the wrong Christ when we want resurrection without crucifixion, crucifixion of our passions, that is, and it doesn't work. Resurrection without the cross. So it's very, very simple. It doesn't even take mathematics. They fasted twice a week, and Christ says you have to do more than that. So we fast twice a week. We fast on some feast days of the saints. We fast during Lent, during the summer, during Great Lent, and also Christmas Lent. So in that respect, we follow the commandment of Christ, and our virtue is higher than that of the Pharisees, at least in the area of fasting. And you may want to mention this to the Protestant Christian that you may want to talk to next, who will question your fasting. And he might tell you, or she might tell you, that it's not necessary to fast. So our church is always right, and we should try to learn how to defend some of our beliefs. The Pharisees gave more than 10%, and unfortunately today, as Orthodox Christians, we have a difficult time with that, and this is why our priests have to become waiters at times to run around to collect money from bazaars and food festivals, and do all kinds of different things to support our Orthodox churches, because our own people do not understand the faith. We have to depend on people who are not even our own from our own faith to support our buildings. And this is bizarre. It doesn't make sense because we have not come to the truth. We have not realized that everything we have belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs to God. So yes, we're going to put our hands in our pockets and support these buildings that belong to God. But we need catechism. These things have to be taught from the Sunday school level on. Kids have to know that we have to practice these things. So we'd give whatever we have. If 1 year we don't have work, we did not make an income, we don't have to give anything. However, we can give other things other than money. St. John the Chrysostom says, if you don't have money, don't give money, but you can give your time. You can teach. You can help someone. You can do some service. All these things are wonderful and quite pleasing to God. So we need to practice purity, because without purity, all the other works are impure, just like the works of the Pharisees did not please God because their heart was very, very impure. We need to practice purity of mind and body, both mind and body, because a lot of people think, I can do whatever I want, I can enjoy whatever I want, I can watch whatever show I want as long as I don't do the act. No, the gospel says something different. Christ teaches against that. He who sees a person and desires that person in his heart, he already committed the sin in the heart. The sin is committed in the heart and in the soul, and every sin begins in the soul. Every sin begins inside the body, in the heart. So yes, Christ demands purity, and today this is a very, very difficult subject because faith is necessary. Simple faith in Christ is necessary for someone to maintain this purity. We must have simple faith in the commandments of Christ. It's not enough to just believe that Christ is God, but we must believe in his commandments. We must have the humility to accept his commandments. Christ says, no, you cannot desire something in your heart. You're going to sin. If you are glued to the TV set or an HBO program every other night, and I'm not talking to you necessarily, here I'm simply generalizing, some of these evil images are going to come to your heart, and you're going to have problems. We must practice watchfulness, and today it's very, very difficult in the type of lifestyle that we find ourselves in. However, we must at least practice nipsis, or the guarding of the heart. And whenever we have an evil thought, let's not panic. We simply need to take the weapons of the faith and fight that thought. Stop that thought from entering the heart. We do not sin by simply having a bad thought or an evil thought. And no, we cannot daydream about our past. Whenever things get a little bit difficult in our present life, we begin to daydream. I'm wondering what's happening to the friends in high school, what happened to that person. I'm wondering what would happen if I would marry that person or this person. And we're beginning to develop a soap opera of some sort within our imagination. And these thoughts are fine for the producers of the television soap operas. However, for Orthodox Christians, these things are very destructive, and we need to get rid of them. We have to fight against this type of warfare, and this warfare is the work of the devil. We must be determined to stop these evil thoughts as they come in. So we will never achieve purity or poverty, or any of the other virtues, if we do not have simple faith in the commandments of God. In other words, obedience. We have to be obedient to Christ's commandments. Saint Isaac the Syrian says, no matter how harsh the commandments of Christ sound, we must love them, and some of them sound very harsh. Some of them are very, very absolute. If your right hand scandalizes you, cut it off, which means if your husband or your wife or your child or your mother or father or father-in-law, mother-in-law, any of these people or your boss, if they're going to pave your way to hell, then cut them off. That's precisely what this commandment means. Of course, we're not going to act right away on our own in these matters. We always need the discretion of a spiritual father, especially when we have to make decisions about major things in our life. We always have to act in obedience. St. Isaac the Syrian says that the commandments of God are more precious than all the treasures of the world. See why the saints loved these commandments. They looked at them as pieces of gold. He who acquires the commandments of Christ finds God in them, even though some of these commandments may sound somewhat harsh to most of us. So this evening, by the grace of God and also St. Luke, we spoke about purity, purity of heart, obedience, obedience to the commandments of Christ, and poverty, willful poverty. These virtues, by the way, are the three vows all monastics take, and that is all monks, and I'm very happy to say that this is one of the great miracles happening today in this country. We have quite a few convents and monasteries emerging in different parts of the country, thanks to our Yeranda, Father Ephrem, who has been working in this country spiritually for many, many years. St. Cosmas de Etolon says that the lay people must copy the monks, and the monks must copy the angels. We are blessed to have a convent in the area of the Pocono Mountains, and this is a couple hours away from New York and also Washington, and about an hour from Philadelphia, an hour and a half. And it would be wonderful to take the time to go and see how these wonderful people live, how they left everything. They left the world, they left their degrees, they left their families, and they came and dedicated their lives, their entire life, to Christ our God. So God is blessing us in many ways, even though we do not deserve it. And we happen to be in the most wonderful position. We are members of the true body of Christ, the Orthodox Church. I'd like to thank Father John for inviting us and all of you for coming to hear our message. Your attentiveness shows that you are eager to hear the Word of God, even though it is spoken by the lips of a sinful and untrained speaker. I ask for your forgiveness if I offended anyone during the course of this evening, and I also ask for your prayers. May God bless you.